Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, joined as we have the privilege of being about this time each week by Diana West, a fabulous, longtime syndicated columnist, a blogger par excellence at dianawest.net, the author of two extraordinarily important books, Death of the Grown-Up, and one just out now in what she calls the director's cut, in an audiobook form that would be American Betrayal, the Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. It is always a delight to visit with her, especially at a time when so many of the things she's been writing about and teaching us on are now very much in the forefront, even if not terribly well understood. So for the purpose of helping us all understand it, I'm delighted to welcome back Diana West. Thank you so much for joining us, Lady Di. Good to have you.
Thank you. Yes, we have a lot to talk about.
We do. And I thought we might start with the assault on two men I admire enormously, John Bolton and Mike Pompeo, respectively the National Security Advisor to the President-designate and the Secretary of State-designate. As it happens at the moment, Diana, as you may know, both are being widely assaulted for a variety of reasons, but one that seems to be getting a fair amount of play is that they have appeared on this program with some regularity between the two of them, with moi, and discussing serious national security topics, including the phenomenon of Sharia supremacism. And I just wanted to visit with you about this because you were an early supporter of Donald Trump during the campaign, and I think, remember, as do I, vividly, a very important speech he made on the 15th of August, 2016, in Youngstown, Ohio, where he really laid out his program, his understanding of and his program for dealing with this phenomenon. He called it radical Islamic terrorism, but whatever term you choose, he got it right, it seemed to me. And it makes all the more peculiar that two men who I think are very much aligned with him on these issues are coming under such virulent, let me say, assault at the moment. Talk me through that.
Yes, well, you refer back to probably a shining moment of the Trump campaign, which is when Donald Trump broke the taboo on Sharia on the national scene. He literally used the word Sharia in terms of framing how people who believe in Sharia law should be screened out of our immigration process because of the ideological opposition, hostility, and determination that is within Sharia to destroy our constitutional liberties, let alone Christianity, Judaism, and every other religion. So this was a very watershed moment because since 9/11, which really is our modern history, national figures have never dared to even mention it. And I would say that your tie-in with Messrs. Pompeo and Bolton goes right back to this point, because I would say that you, Frank Gaffney, are the signal group in Washington that has discussed Sharia since 9/11, where every other group does not. So this all ties together and is very important because the discussion, according to the left, right, and establishment, swamp, etc., is not to include this point, which is of such great importance to the future of our country and to so many of our countrymen who voted for Donald Trump.
I believe that it was very much an important factor in his success, that he brought that clarity to bear at a time when so many of us were yearning for somebody to speak truthfully about what we're up against and offer a plan for dealing with it. Yeah, and Diana, because you have thought these things through so carefully and applied your extraordinary research skills to documenting the sort of historical practices that seem to be in play here to suppress information like that we provide every day on this program, to try to sully the people who are providing that information, to ignore systematically the research and analysis that underpins it. This has the hallmarks, I believe, of some of the totalitarians of yesteryear. They're doing business today, perhaps, as the red-green axis in this country, the hard left and the Islamists. But talk a little bit about these techniques and how you've seen them operate in the past.
Yes, well, I think they're operating today. I think they are one and the same. There is a great synergy between the drive in Islam to suppress not just speech, but also all manner of conscience and personal liberty, that is exactly duplicated when we see the drive toward totalitarianism coming out of Marxism, that always has to include the erosion or destruction or complete elimination of similar liberties for these communist groups, Marxist groups, totalitarian groups to seize power. The suppression of speech and conscience is always a basis of this, particularly because both of these two doctrines are collectivist doctrines in which the individual counts for nothing. It is all about either the Ummah, the collective Islamic community, or the proletariat, which is really ruled by, of course, an elite, which again we see mirrored in the Islamic way as well. So there's great similarities, great parallels, great onward, this inexorable drive toward the same end in terms of suppressing speech, conscience, religion, freedom of religion, freedom of anything of the individual.
Now, just a point of clarification, they may not actually be pursuing the same ends exactly. They seem to have different end states that they aspire to, the hard left and the Islamists, but they certainly seek as an intermediate step, taking down the obstacle to the realization of their goals, namely us and Western civ more generally. And Diana, one of the things that has been a perennial, hardy perennial, I guess one might say, of all of this effort to suppress the kind of analysis that you've done, the kind of analysis that we've done at the Center for Security Policy and continue to do, is that this is all, you know, some horrific conspiracy theory. You, with your work on what the communists were doing to undermine our country in the run-up to and during World War II, notably, and American betrayal, and the assessments that we've done of what the Muslim Brotherhood is up to, and specifically its civilization jihad, as it's been described in one of their own documents, for heaven's sake, introduced into evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial by the federal government. These things are not, it seems to me, conspiracy theories as much as they are theories that have been implemented, and we can document how they've been implemented, is actual conspiracies. So especially to hear the caviling from people who are clinging to the idea that Donald Trump colluded with the Russians, if ever there were a conspiracy theory unmoored from reality, that's it. How can this be that there's such indifference to the facts and most especially to the conclusions that they inexorably lead you to, that we are, in fact, under assault from the left and the right at the moment in these various forms we've been discussing?
Well, I think the answer lies in the fact that the facts are of no importance to this argument. This is not an argument, it's a war for power. And whether it's claiming that a conspiracy doesn't exist where it does exist, or a conspiracy does exist where it does not exist, it actually makes no difference. And this is something we do see coming again out of Marxism, also coming out of Islam, where there is no sense of truth as a commandment, literally, in Christianity and Judaism and other creeds as well, where there is a desire to find truth. This is not about finding the best possible way of understanding events around us. This is about gaining power. And I think that that's one thing that people very often on the right and conservatives, people raised in a traditional way, are very ill-equipped to even conceive of, because it goes against their own grain so much, in the assumption that people are seeking truth. But this is about seeking power. That's why the arguments never have to make sense.
And Diana, one of the other things that I think is a signal contribution of your work, and that I know of your mentor and our mutual friend, M. Stanton Evans, was learning from the success of the communists and their allies in taking the experience of the last, arguably, serious person when it comes to countering these subversive movements and influence operations, namely Joseph McCarthy, to persuade Americans that there is not any problem with internal security or influence operations mounted by hostile elements. It was the fiction of a deranged anti-communist back in the day, and there's no fear of that applying any further, even though it seems as though everybody has now embraced the idea that actually the Russians are engaged in influence operations here. And now we're hearing the Chinese with their Confucius Institutes are engaged in it. And yet there seems to be this extremely tenaciously held view that, the jihadists couldn't possibly be doing that sort of thing here as well. So again, just remind us of the history and why we best learn from it.
Yes. Well, I think, again, we have to understand the phrase conspiracy theory as a buzzword that's supposed to fry your circuits and make you seek cover and stop talking. It's a very similar tool as the word McCarthyism, coming from Joseph McCarthy, again, supposed to make radioactive the very study of the communist infiltration and subversion that he and many of his colleagues in the House and Senate of both parties were actually trying to uncover as they perceived the swamp circa 1950 of Washington, D.C., which is a subverted and infiltrated and completely unsafe place. So this becomes a tool, and people who know better, people who are historians and other expert scholars who study this, who still are talking about McCarthyism as if Joseph McCarthy was not correct in his investigations and what he was looking at, is really serving to deceive us.
Diana, there's so much more to talk with you about on this score, and we look forward to doing so again next week. In the meantime, I commend to all of our listeners your new version of American Betrayal, the audio book. Check it out and all of Diana's work at DianaWest.net. Thank you, Diana, for your time today, and we'll look forward to our continued conversation next week. Next up, we will speak with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation about election fraud and the Supreme Court and more right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.